Well, good afternoon, everyone, on another beautiful Sabbath day. All Sabbaths are beautiful, but we have the nice weather to go along with it. All right, I wanted to launch right into this. This is the third part of the series called The Light. And today we're going to go into, finally, the true plan of salvation. And I won't be using a lot of scriptures here. I'll refer to some, and you'll remember those from your past studies. What we want to do is truly give you an overview. And we've been advertising all the different taped sermons and the different series that we have had over the past number of years here that you can write in for and receive, all of you who are not in the congregation here today. So I hope that you are ready to hear the true plan of salvation. This is the very light of Christ. It truly is, and you'll see that as this unfolds today. Christ, remember this, that Christ saved the world. He didn't come to give anyone an opportunity. He came, he was actually murdered, killed, and God accepted that, and he saved the entire world. And that, of course, is good news to everybody. We also learn that Satan is going to die. He's not going to come back and haunt us later. He is going to die. We talked about the first fruits, his church, his seven eras of the church that has been going on now for 2,000 years since Christ. And we see that the first fruits are sealed, and that there are only 144,000 first fruits. I know that's a small number, but that's the number he chose, not us. But nobody is left out of this. And the plan comes through, and it is good, and it gives you peace. Also discussed with the Garden of Eden that we don't have a choice. And thank God that none of us have had any choice in this, because every one of us would have made the wrong decision. We all know that from our past lives. God does it, and God gets all the glory for it. And as this plan unveils today, you're going to see that God has been doing it right from the beginning, all the way through. And he never depended on you or me for anything. And like I say, thank God for that, because we know our lives. We know we can't do it. Now I'll go ahead and give the address once again on this tape. I like to put it on each tape, because we don't know how many people pass these from one person to another. It's the Church Outreach Program, P.O. Box 6111, Elgin, Illinois, 60121. So at least we have that recorded on the tape for all of those of you who will hear this later sometime. I wanted to review very quickly here, and I'm going to go as fast as I can to get this all in. I know people gave me a bad time last week. I had 26 pages. Well, I have 39 pages today, but I don't have a lot of scriptures, so we'll go quickly. The man of sin, as we talked about last week, the man of sin is not some physical human being. The man of sin is Satan the devil. And Satan the devil has been sitting within the temple of God, it says, right within God's church for these past 2,000 years. And I know that's hard to believe, but it happens to be the truth. And we gave you the scriptures, and we can give you more later to prove that. Christ is the head of the church. There's no fight between Satan and Christ. Christ is the head of the church. But he has allowed Satan to sit there and maneuver on different eras of the church where he wanted to. Or where God, rather, I should put it, God gave him different parameters to work under. Satan has sat in this temple of God, the very church. And within the parameters which God allowed him to work in, he taught his counterfeit right within the church. Like most of these physical prophecies and that were taught in the church. An awful lot of those that we believed in for years was just Satan's counterfeit. And it'll all start to unravel today. Why was Satan sitting in the church for the last 2,000 years? Why did he decide to do that? Or why was he allowed to do that? You know, no one knew he was here. I didn't. You didn't. We all thought we were pure and holy. But we have to look at our lives and realize that that wasn't the case. But we were in God's church. Let's see why he would want to sit within the church. You know, why not be another world-ruling empire the way he's always been before? And I want to hit this very quickly and read just a couple of scriptures here so we get this in mind, so when I unfold this true plan of salvation, you'll see exactly where Satan is fit in all of this stuff, and you'll see where this plan rolls right out. We can turn over to Revelation 17, Revelation 17, or you can just listen. We'll go through it fairly quick. This one you may want to take some notes because most people have not heard this before. Now he's talking here about later on in the end time, mystery of Babylon and all that in Revelation. And starting in verse 6, he talks about he sees this woman is drunk with the blood of the saints. And he says, I wondered with great admiration. He didn't know what this was. Remember, Paul or John, almost put Paul here. John is watching this revelation, this vision unfold to him. And he was supposed to write about this. So the angel says, why do you marvel? He says, I tell you the mystery of the woman and the beast that carried her, which has the 7 heads and 10 horns. And we all thought that 10 horns were going to be the 10 nations in Europe and the beast power was going to be over there and do it. Sorry, it's not going to happen, at least not yet. So in verse 8, the beast that you saw was and is not and shall ascend out of the bottomless pit. He's telling you who exactly this beast is, who it is, and go into perdition, and they that dwell on the earth shall wonder. Remember this statement. Those who dwell on the earth shall wonder whose names were not written in the book of life from the foundation of the world. When they behold the beast that was and is not and yet is. This is a mystery, isn't it? And no one ever in the world for the last 2,000 years has ever understood this. God clouds this Bible. And it's a magical Bible in that sense where only His Spirit can open up so you can have the understanding. So we've said it from all kinds of different people it was going to be. And we had it all messed up. And I want to make this very clear to everyone right now, so it'll make sense later. And here is the mind which has wisdom. Now he's going to explain this. He says the 7 heads are 7 mountains, or governments, or kingdoms, or empires, on which the woman sits. The woman, of course, is Satan. And all the power and the religious things and everything else that's going on there. But he is the one that is behind this, okay? And it's that Babylon, of course, who was pictured by the woman. Verse 10, here's the key scripture. And there are 7 kings. Now this, remember, is in John's time. Remember where this is. This is John's time. And there are 7 kings. 5 are fallen, and 1 is, and the other is not yet. And when he comes, he must continue a short space. So he tells you what this is. Keep this in mind, that all these beasts, you know, in Daniel and all over, especially here in Revelation, it's all the same beast. There's only one beast. There's only one beast with seven heads. That's all there is. Now in Daniel, when it's described there, he's talking about it in his time. Okay? And so they start with Babylon in his time. And so there's a vision of a different beast, but it's still this same beast. And we will be going into that. In fact, next week we're going to go into it very thoroughly. So if you have questions, wait until next week on that. But I want to go through this. With John, it says five are fallen. Okay? Five are fallen and one is. Now this is in John's time, and the five which are fallen. Now we don't start with Babylon. We don't start there. We start where it began. We start where God has revealed this to begin. The first head is Egypt. Egypt is the number one head. Then Assyria. Number three, Babylon. Number four, Media Persia. Number five, Greco-Macedonian. And the one that is, which is in John's time, is the Roman Empire. Messes up your theory, doesn't it? Now there's one not yet to come. That's going to be a seventh head, or seventh empire. World ruling empire. And we know that it says here that it's going to be, he's only going to have a short space. And we also know that Satan is going to be released after the 1,000 years for a short season. And that is when that seventh head is going to rise. And also, those 10 toes, or those 10 nations. But we will get to that. I know people are having fits out there in tape land hearing this, but this is the way it is, and you'll see how this comes out. Now it continues. It says, and the beast that was and is not, even he is the eighth. Uh-oh, we got an eighth. I thought we only had seven. It says, even he is the eighth, and is of the seven, and goes into perdition. And the 10 horns which you saw are 10 kings, which have received no kingdom as yet, but receive power as kings 1 hour with the beast. It's going to be in that short period of time. Okay, we can stop there, I believe. No, I'm going to keep on going here. These have one mind and shall give their power and strength unto the beast. These shall make war with the Lamb. So they're going to actually make war with the Lamb. This sounds like Armageddon, but not the Armageddon when you thought Armageddon was. And the Lamb shall overcome them, and he is Lord of lords and King of kings, and they that are with him are called, these are the first fruits, they are called and chosen and faithful. These are the 144,000 that will be with Christ when this big battle occurs. Now you believe it's going to occur some other time, and that's what we're going to go through today. So I wanted to bring that up so you can listen to these seven heads, because it all fits in later. And it's very, very important that you understand that. It's not the way that you always thought things were. Now, why was Satan in the church? The question I ask. See, the first six heads, those world-ruling empires driven by Satan the devil, fought against physical Israel, didn't they? All the way back to Egypt. Egypt, there he was, Satan sitting, the first head. What was he doing? Fighting against Israel, wasn't he? Had him in captivity. And all the way through on these, Assyria fought against Israel and tried to get them captive. And you have Babylon, of course, they took captivity of Israel as well. And then the Media-Persian Empire came in and they took over Babylon and took over Israel again. And Greece did the same. And the Roman Empire, we know from history what they all did. And they all tried to destroy that physical Israel. But by that time, it started to go to what? In John's time, in Christ's time, and that Roman Empire was going, what happened? Christ came along. And the church started. And when the church, spiritual Israel, began, where would Satan go to fight them? Another world empire? No. He came and sat right in the church and tried to destroy us from within. You know, look at the Laodicean era today. He was given a lot larger parameters. And look what he did to it. You all know the history on that. He thinks he is destroying it with his counterfeit. But he isn't. The Philadelphians, you know, we all believed a counterfeit plan of salvation as well. So he sat in the church with us too. But God got his main points across, and that was the law and the Ten Commandments, the very law of God in the holy days, his way of life. He did teach through Mr. Armstrong those things, and we still have those to this day. You know, when we think of the end of the plan that we used to, do we think that God was going to lose some of his children in the lake of fire? We've all been taught that. I don't care what religion you're in. We all believed in hell fire, and people were going to go in there, didn't we? We believed that. You know, I have to look at God then and say, what a dumb, stupid, bad parent. He's a parent. We're the children. You mean he's going to lose his children? How would people think of you? You see. This, you know, is this the God that you worship? Somebody who would be known forever as a not-so-perfect parent or father? You'd have to go all your life, all eternity, going, well, he got me, but boy, he certainly did lose a whole bunch, didn't he? Well, that's a good example, isn't it? Well, he is truly your loving father. Now, the holy days, we're going to get into the plan now. The holy days picture the true plan of salvation. We've known that. But we haven't had a clear picture of the plan, and we haven't had a clear picture of the different holy days. We made the holy days fit in with ours, or Satan's, theory of the plan. So let's go through a couple of these very quickly so we don't have to come back to them. We have Passover, one of the first things that we celebrate. Now, a little innocent lamb was killed for physical Israel. Israel wasn't doing anything bad, but it had to be killed. This is the way God set that up. Now, remember, sacrifice only means to kill. It's a killing. Now, there's offerings that are given to God, but this just means, a sacrifice just means to kill. Now, Satan was this first head of that beast in Egypt, and it fought against that physical Israel, a nation that God was going to work through for a time. Now, he asked, after that lamb was killed, he asked you to go inside, all those people, put blood around the doorpost, and stay there all night. And in the morning, you would come through the door and that blood around it, and you would come out into the morning, into the light. Now, 7 days, it took Egypt 7 days to get out of Egypt and cross the Red Sea. And those 7 days picture the seven eras of God's church, because those firstborn were pictured as first fruits and pictured as the church. God pictured the church way back from the beginning, always showing that the church was going to be here. Now we have, in the church, we are spiritual Israel, the one that he's putting together. So we have that Passover lamb, is Christ, isn't he? He was innocent, and he was murdered. He was just out and out killed and murdered. Now, he is the door, isn't he? And he gave his life with that blood. Now, we go through Christ, our door. We go through that, and we come into the light, which Christ is as well. You see, when those children of Israel came out of that house, they were inside. They came through that door, they came by that blood, and they came out into the light of day and morning. You see how that pictures? Everything that God does pictures His plan. We don't put sin out of our lives. You all have admitted that in the first tape. We didn't put the sin out. God puts the sin out. He covers us with that blood of Christ. And He puts the sin out of our lives, not us. An innocent lamb was killed. Christ was murdered by Satan. You know, there's a law in the Old Testament. This is how God thinks. There's a law in the Old Testament. It says that when a murder has been done, the land cannot be cleansed until the murderer be killed. Now that's the earth. There was a murder that took place here. Somebody killed God's Son. And murder took place. And that murderer will be put to death, as we've already learned. And then the land will be cleansed. God always sticks to His rules. He doesn't make rules and then say, you go ahead and obey them, and if you can't, then I'm going to punish you. No, this is His way of life. This is His thinking. Then we have the days of unleavened bread. We have the first holy day and the last holy day. What are those two holy days picture? Has anyone ever told you what they pictured? The answer is no. They never have. It was just a week where we put sin out of our lives. And of course, we can't do that. We now glory in it and thank God that He took and put sin out of our lives. And that's what we remember. That God made us unleavened, the way that He says in the Scriptures. I'm not going to go through this, and I'm not going to tell you what the first and second day there is, those two holy days. You write in for all of the seven, we call God's seven holy days. You know, it took me seven or eight sermons to go through and explain all of those. I don't have the time to do it now. Write in and get those. And learn about those. Learn about those 40 years in the wilderness. What it really pictured. The Ten Commandments and that promised land. What does that picture? You haven't been told this before. You will be. Let's go on to Pentecost. Pentecost. This will be surprising to you. It was not the day the church started. The church did not start on Pentecost. Is that surprising to you? It was not the day the Holy Spirit was given. Now that's shocking. But some did receive the Holy Spirit on that day. Why does it mean count 50? Pentecost means count 50. What does it mean? I'll give you a little insight. You know, he says to do 7 times 7. 7 weeks times 7. And it comes out 49 days. Okay, 7 times 7. And there's 7 weeks within that. And each one of those weeks is showing one of God's eras. There's going to be 7 churches or 7 eras. But we're still short a day. That's only 49 days. But the other day is that wave sheaf offering. Remember, Christ had to go and get accepted? On that first day, it says. And there was a day back in the Old Testament and the New Testament, where there was that one day when that wave sheaf was accepted. And putting it together, thus you have 50 days. Count 50. It's showing you the word Pentecost alone. It's showing you the 7 eras of the church and Jesus Christ as head of that. And it's right there. It pictures Christ and the church, the 144,000. Remember, Christ was sealed. We went through this last week. He was sealed with the Holy Spirit, just like you. You were sealed. And once you've been sealed, that's it. You're there. And God's Spirit will work with you to fulfill what He wants. Again, write in for God's 7 holy days so you can get a clear understanding of just what I just said. With a lot more scriptures, of course. It's all loaded with scriptures. That's all we do in the sermons. This is more of an overview today. Now let's go on with the plan of salvation. In our time, we started to get that plan of salvation. It was building. You know, we had the apostles, Christ, all of that. What about us? What's going to happen now? Let's start at the beginning of the 3.5 years. We know that there's a period of time that's going to be. So let's start there. We do not set dates in God's church. But we all know that it is getting closer and closer. We've seen the fulfillment of these 7 eras of the church. It's going to be a lot shorter than a lot longer coming. Now, what happens at the beginning of this 3.5 years? The Philadelphian era of the church will be protected somehow from this hour of protection. Where we will go, how he will do it, I don't know. If you can find it in the Bible, please tell me. I'm sure his spirit and probably the two witnesses will show us exactly what's going to happen at that time. He just says he's going to protect us, he's going to take us to a place that's prepared for us, and that we can make ourselves ready for that wedding. And how do we make ourselves ready? By this very knowledge that I'm telling you today. Now, there's also going to be the two witnesses. They come on the scene, and they're going to have this power for 3.5 years. Okay? Now, the Laodicean church, of course, is still here. They're not protected. We'll get to that. But the two witnesses will be given power to expose Satan. Not to hurt people. Not to beat on people's heads because they didn't repent. No, that was never the fight. The fight is between God and Satan, not us. So they're given power to expose Satan. That's why they're given this power. You read it, you know what the power was. They're given all these manner of plagues that they can give as often as they will. They can turn water into blood. They are not here for 3.5 years. They are not here to convert people. They are going to be here to witness of Christ to the whole world. And that plan of God that you're hearing now. They're going to be here to expose Satan. They are not here to beat down people. They are here to bring down Satan's kingdoms. He rules this earth. He's the God of this world. That's what it says. And that's why they will have that power. To fight and expose Satan to the whole world. Exactly what this beast has always been. You know, we had a funny thing. We used to think, and it wasn't this way. You know, Christ is not coming to do away with some religious organization or some religious man. That's not the purpose. That's not the enemy. Let's get to the bottom line. The enemy is Satan. Satan is in every religion. Every religion. His counterfeit is out there. Not one that's pure and clean. God's church, we are sealed and we are kept. But as we've seen, we've been taught a lot of things that weren't right either. So let's not judge any of our brothers anywhere on this earth. The Laodiceans, who are our brothers and first fruits, they're not protected. And their blood is given to Satan to kill. Remember, he turns their blood over to them, to Satan. And during that 3.5 years, all of those people will die. Now, it's the two witnesses that stand at the door and knock to the Laodicean era of the church. They're coming with God's church. And they're coming with God's truth. And they will be talking about it. And those first fruits who are in the Laodicean era will come. Now it says in Revelation 12:17, it talks about that remnant of her seed. That's what Satan is going to come after. It's talking about the church. But it also states, which keep, and these are the Laodiceans, now they're not doing it now, but they will, which keep the Ten Commandments, which keep the commandments and have the testimony of Jesus Christ. And that testimony is the spirit of prophecy. And that's what I'm giving you now. This is Christ's testimony, the true plan of salvation. They'll know it. They'll hear it with those two witnesses, and they will believe. And because they do believe and back the two witnesses, because no one can kill them, Satan will go ahead and kill all of those people who rally around those two witnesses. And that's how the church, at that part of it, gets killed. But we will still be alive. Their eyes are going to be opened. And that's good to know. And it fulfills the plan of the Father. It works out exactly the way He said it was going to. Now the two witnesses continue to go. They keep exposing Satan for what he is, because the world has never seen him. This is his world, his society, his thinking, his computer chip, his satanic nature that has been put within each one of us by him. And it makes us do evil. It makes us think the dumb way that we think. And as the two witnesses keep on going, they can turn the Great Lakes, they can turn all kinds of things into blood. They can cause it not to rain. These are God's true representatives with His power. They announce during this period, probably later on in that 3.5 year period, they announce the 7 trumps. God will inspire them. They'll say, a trump's coming, boom. They'll hear that big sound. Now, when they let these trumps out, this is what's going to happen to this earth. The first one smites that third part of the trees and the grass. A third part on the next one, a third part of the sea dies. The third trump opens. A third part of the rivers and the water turn to this wormwood. The fourth opens. A third part of the moon, sun, and stars are darkened. You know, a lot's going on here on this earth. A lot's happening. No one's doing this in secret. The two witnesses are known to everyone. One day, one satellite transmission, the whole world knows, right? I'm going to tell you something about the fifth seal that you didn't know. Now, send in for those 7 holy days, because we go through this in detail. On that fifth trump, this isn't nuclear war. This isn't all kinds of warring going on between the 10 nations and all that, which we believe. No, there's 5 months. Remember, the war isn't between people. The war is between God's power and Satan to expose Satan. And by this time, the witnesses have done their job very well. Everyone knows that this satanic beast is there. He's been bringing down his nations. Will people die? Yes, maybe hundreds of millions of people will die. But God's got that covered. Don't worry about that. In the process of bringing down Satan's kingdoms. But there's going to be a 5-month period when this fifth trump sounds. And Satan is so exposed by the two witnesses, he and all the demons, they now become visible. They become visible. It's just like these alien pictures that you see, and you're seeing more and more and more of them, aren't you, as the time goes on. Well, who do you think is inspiring and writing all of this? They make the movies. They make that. You know, these weird creatures with those long arms and funny faces and big mouths, and they chase. What are they always doing? Chasing mankind. Well, that's what's going to happen. I know it sounds weird, but this is going to happen. For 5 months, these things are going to chase mankind. And they're going to be able to sting them. That's what the Bible says. What that is, I don't know. They can sting them, but they can't kill them. They cannot kill man. But they're going to run and chase. Now, what a witness to all mankind, watching these creatures come after them, hiding in their homes, hiding in caves. These things are after them. Why God did it this way, I don't know. Go ask Him. Then we have the sixth trump. And these are not human armies that will be coming. These are going to be 200 million satanic angels. Everyone's going to see this. All the human beings are going to see this. This is a spirit war that's going to happen right in front of the people. You're going to have all the bad angels come, and then you're going to have the good angels come. And they're going to fight. And it says that the good angels are going to kill a third part of these bad angels. Right then and there, they're going to kill a third part of them. We know there's been wars in heavens. There's been these wars. We've read about them. Well, it's going to take place where everyone can see. Think of the witness to human beings who are going to live on into the millennium. Think of this. So all the humans are going to watch this. All right, as it progresses, the two witnesses are killed then, right at the end, are going to be killed in Jerusalem, as it says there in Revelation 11. And their bodies are going to be dead, laying in the streets for 3.5 days. Now, it's against all Israel law and all of the law in that part of the country to let people not be buried. They have to be buried that day before sundown. But they're going to make an exception because these are the two witnesses. These two have said that they're the prophets of Almighty God. And they also know they have to be resurrected and come back to life in 3.5 days. Because if it happens, if that happens, this is all really true. And God has a wonderful plan in store for everyone. Remember, these are just physical human beings running around down there. Now, between this time, and if I go fast on some of this, or I forget some of this, get those 7 holy days. I can't say it enough, because that gets into every little part of it, giving you an overview. We're building to something. Between the time of that 7th trump and when those, let me put it this way. When those two witnesses are killed, you have 3.5 days. At the end of those 3.5 days, there's going to be a 7th trump. And in that period of time, somewhere in there, Christ is going to bind up Satan and cast him into this bottomless pit for 1,000 years. We know the story. And during that time, he's going to start to remove that satanic computer chip, that satanic nature out of man, all the men who are still here, all the human beings that still remain at the end of this time. Now, only God's human nature is going to be within the human into the human people. And we know that human nature, the one that God created, he said when he created man, this is good. Everything about this is good. We'll get a little bit more to that. So now, the 7th trump sounds. It's interesting because it says in Jerusalem, the men gave glory to God in heaven. This is the first time man's ever done anything like that. So there is a difference in mankind here, isn't there? Now, they're not converted, as we would say, but they certainly are like they were in the Garden of Eden, the way God created people. Good, good, with good, godly human nature, the stuff that he made. Now, this 7th trump sounds, but I want to back up for a moment. The 7 vials that also come with the opening of the 7th trump, they are not poured out at this time. They're not poured out this time. They're poured out at a much later date, as we will get to. So remember that. Remember what is happening here. That 7th trump, we know, is the first resurrection. We know that. Now, this first resurrection happens, and, oh, well, you know, you're forgetting things. No, I'm not. There is no Gog and Magog happening here. There is no Armageddon happening here. There is no fighting or no war here on this earth. There is no Day of the Lord now. That's where Satan had all this timing messed up, so we couldn't see the true plan of salvation. It is as I told you. When those witnesses die, that 7th trump comes, the first resurrection begins. You know what this time pictures? It pictures atonement. This is the Day of Atonement. This is what it pictures. That's what we'll celebrate forever, this period of time, the first resurrection. Look at this. Remember the high priest goes into the Holy of Holies? That's only where God is. No one else could go there. They'd be struck dead. Where are we going to be going? We're first fruits. We've just been resurrected. The priest brings in the blood from that sacrifice that he made, and he sprinkles it 7 times on the altar. This is showing 7 eras of God's church, the 7 churches, the first fruits of God, right there on the altar in the Holy of Holies. That's what comes in there. These are God's first fruits, picturing the 144,000. And what happens when they're in there? God Himself in the Holy of Holies is accepting the first fruits. He's accepting that sacrifice. He's accepting that. And we're not talking about the great harvest. We're talking about the first fruits. And He accepts that. Again, right in for those 7 holy days, it will explain this in detail. The Father always takes those first to Himself, because the great harvest, that comes later. That's just the great harvest. But He always takes the first fruits to Himself. So, Christ is coming in the clouds, right? I mean, this is what happens at that 7th trump. He starts to come in the clouds. It says the dead in Christ, the first fruits, the church, they begin to rise first. They come up first. Then all that are who are still alive of the first fruits should be the Philadelphian era, the remnants of the Philadelphian era there at the end. They will be changed in the twinkling of an eye. They'll be changed, and they will rise with them, the ones that were dead. In the air, now get this, in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. It's in 1 Thessalonians 4, 16 and 17. Now it says, every eye will see Him. This is His second coming, right? Well, that's what we used to believe. I mean, even the Roman soldiers, remember that verse I talked about last week? Even the ones who pierced Him, it says, He says, they will see Him. Well, something's wrong here, because no Roman soldier is going to be resurrected at this time. You know, that's the old second coming. We're talking about God's true coming here, with Jesus Christ coming at that 7th trump. And that's what we have to keep in mind. It's different than what we pictured before. So these Roman soldiers that pierced Him are going to have to see Christ. That's what it says. So this isn't that time, is it? It already throws our old theory and Satan's theory out of whack. They did not come up in the first resurrection. This is not the second coming of Christ that we all have pictured in our heads. That He comes back, sets up some kingdom, rules some Mickey Mouse little kingdom for a while, and then gets beat out at the end as it is. No, that's not the way it is. We went through that last week. When we meet Christ in the clouds, we don't bring Him back to earth. Why would we ever bring Him back here? He takes us to be accepted by the Father up in heaven. What did He just say? Did He say, we're going to heaven? Oh, what an evil thing to go to heaven, right? Well, that's what a lot of you think. No, what a joyous, wonderful thing to go to heaven. Let's get our minds on straight. It says 144,000, they follow the Lamb wherever He goes. You know, where did God go? Where did Christ go? I have to turn over this. John 14. Look at it. It's shocking. It's shocking to our old theory. Where do we follow Him? Very simple. Let's start to read in verse 1. Christ talking to the disciples. And He's telling them this. He says, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in Me. He says, in my Father's house are many mansions. We were taught, oh, these are positions. These are offices. Oh, we're going to get some more stripes on our arms for this one, aren't we? It was all self and satanic. When you look up the word many mansions, you will see that it's not offices or positions. When you look it up, it says staying residences. Staying residences. In my Father's house are many staying residences. Somewhere that you go and you stay. If it were not so, I would have told you. He says, I go and prepare a place for you. We didn't prepare a place on earth for him. God forbid him come down to this evil world, right? He prepared a place for us. And if I go and prepare a place for you, if he's doing all this work and he's getting this all ready for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. Brethren, we're going back with Jesus Christ. We're going back to where he prepared the place. Did you hear that right? Yes. You are going to heaven. Thank God for that. Oh, did I forget some scripture in the Bible? I know that a lot of people are thinking right now, oh, well, he's forgetting some scriptures. No, I know all the scriptures equally as well as any of you out there. Okay? I haven't forgotten any of the scriptures. I know all of the scriptures. But you may want to quote me Revelation 20, verse 6. They shall be at this end time. See, they shall be priests of God and of Christ, and shall reign with him 1,000 years. Well, where has Christ been reigning for the last 2,000 years? You don't think he's been reigning up there, sitting on that throne with his Father? Duh. Well, of course he has. Was that a bad thing? Wouldn't you want to do that? Oh, yes, but sir, you forgot that other, the only other scripture we have. No, I haven't forgot that. You mean Revelation 5:10? And hath made us unto our God kings and priests, and we shall reign on the earth. There it is, isn't it? Boy, I have this wrong. No, I don't have it wrong. You have it wrong. We always had that wrong. Yes, we will reign on this earth. But Revelation 5 is talking about a completely different time than the millennium. But you wouldn't know that, would you? Because you don't know the full plan of salvation. You know, don't answer until you hear the whole matter. And I tell you that your answers, all your questions will be answered, most of them, by hearing the full plan. So we stay up in heaven to be taught by the Father for 1,000 years. Thank God for that. You know, what would any one of you have taught mankind down here below? Yeah, like we knew something? We could actually teach something? We already took care of that the first tape, didn't we? Didn't we take care of that in the throne room of God when you told God how wonderful and great you were and what you had to offer him or his plan? Yeah, we took care of that. Remember that. Don't forget that. No church people really wanted to do this in the millennium to teach, because we all knew we couldn't. It was mainly only the ministers. They all wanted this to happen because they'd have higher positions in their minds, and then they could beat on people a little bit more. That's really the way it was. Now remember, this millennium is starting, it's beginning, this 1,000-year period. We're gone. Satan's gone. But there's still people here. But they don't have the satanic computer chip. They don't have Satan's nature in them. They have 1,000 years. You know, what's going to happen then? Well, what does the Feast of Tabernacles really picture? What does it really picture? When you really think about it, when you don't try to put a theory in to God's words. It pictures a very, very physical time, doesn't it? When you go to the feast, what's there? He has you save that second tithe. You go to the feast with your family. You get out from the world. You're with a lot of different church people. You're all the same thinking. You're having a good time. It's the best. It's the time that we look forward to all year. Physically, isn't it? Plenty of food and water and drink and money. We can go out and have dinner. We can do all these things with our children. We can go to all these different things that we weren't able to do. The families being together. It pictures peace. And it pictures peace over the entire world. It pictures what the entire world at that time, those 1,000 years, is going to be like. A good time. Plenty for all. Isn't that the way that we have always kept the feast? Physically? Now, people try to always make the feast into some spiritual time. Oh, pray more. Oh, study more. Do all of this more. But you know, it never did work, did it? Did it? Be honest. It didn't work. It wasn't supposed to work. This was picturing the people on this earth in a beautiful and wonderful, like a human, physical utopia. You know, it's not the Garden of Eden yet. But there's not going to be the murders and the killings and the thievery and all of that. That nature was taken away. Now, God's angels will be over those cities and nations, not Satan's. Satan is over it today. Look at the mess we have today. Well, you don't see those angels, and you won't see God's angels either. But they'll be there, they'll be working, and they'll make sure that the 1,000 years works exactly the way God wants it to. In peace and in harmony. No, there's not going to be all the churches. I don't know what they're going to know because the church is gone. First fruits are gone. God's Spirit isn't going to be here for any of the people. But they will live a physical life. And it's, you get those 7 holy days again. It starts to explain why this situation happens. They'll have that human nature. You know, the first thing that's going to happen after the resurrection and all that, and then the people are on their own, people are going to look around and say, listen, the first thing we have to do is make sure everyone goes to bed with a full stomach. You know, there's 40,000 children who die every day on this earth because they don't have enough food or medicine. Just sanitary conditions. They die. That'll never happen. That's the first thing they'll stop. Everyone will work together. People will be their brother's keepers at that time. What a marvelous time, humanly speaking. All these verses in the Bible that we thought, or Satan made us think, that applied to the millennium, they didn't. They didn't. It didn't apply to the time I will tell you about in a moment. It's going to apply to that time, rather. All these things that we thought applied to the millennium, they apply to a different period of time. And you'll see that very clear. You know, one of the only verses that I can find about the millennium, other than the ones about the holy days and the Feast of Tabernacles, is this one. And now, it may apply, it may not. But I think it kind of fits. It's Amos 8:11-12. I'll just read that. Behold, the days come, saith the Lord, that I will send a famine in the land. Oh, it's going to be different this time. Not a famine of bread, nor of thirst of water, but of the hearing of the words of the Lord. The first fruits, brethren, are gone. We're not on this earth. We're in heaven. We're being trained by God. We're being trained, finally, to understand what's going on. And it says, and they shall wander from sea to sea, and from north even to the east. They shall run to and fro to seek the word of the Lord, and shall not find it. That, brethren, at least applies. That applies to the millennium. That's shocking, isn't it? We thought it was going to be a different time. That's why we're going through this.